So it's a special day today. We're no longer caught in a pach, which was a trap. We have Sabbath Josh with us. All he needs to do is give us a rousing.
You got down to the Mishnah.
That wasn't quite rousing, but here we are in Daf Peichet, and we did get down to the Mishnah, and now Sabbath Josh will give us a rousing.
Look, the Heilige Mishnah.
Yeah, we missed that. Yes, indeed. Oh. Hamadir Hanaami Chatano, or a guy who finally says, that's it. That no good for nothing husband of yours ain't getting a penny of mine, and I'm not going to let him have any kind of honor for my stuff. Now his poor daughter is starving. What's he supposed to do?
This is real life issue.
Yes, indeed. Now the truth is that if she were really starving, he wouldn't have a problem. Because if you give mizonot to a woman, the husband doesn't have any rights to mizonot. He has rights to money, but he doesn't have any right to food. We know this because we saw that even if she doesn't use the food that her husband gives her, she's mitzamtzemet, and she keeps it, he gets to keep that and its value. So he has no right in that at all. So the only time that we have an issue where if somebody gives something to a woman that the husband has automatically rights in it, is where it isn't mizonot. But over here, he wants her to be able to go to the supermarket, do what she wants with the money. And the question is this, but pashtus, we're used to thinking that if you want to do something under those circumstances, all you need to do is give a gift to someone, to a woman, and say, almanat she'en lebalech reshut bo. So I'm giving you this money on the condition that your husband doesn't have any reshut in it. The problem is, as we'll see, that there's a sheet of Rabbi Meir, and our mission is going according to that, Rabbi Meir, as we'll see in the Gemara, who holds that there's a concept called extended yadot. So yad isha ki yad ba'ala. So even though the husband doesn't get separate rights to it, she doesn't have individual rights that are not her husband's rights. Therefore, he's got a big problem. He's according to Rabbi Meir, won't help to say, I'm not saying about, fine, my husband won't get any reshut to it. But my use of it is my husband's use of it, according to that. And therefore, anything that he says he wants to do, that he can do with it. So he said, how do I avoid being over the netter? So what I can do is, according to this, Omerla, you have to do two things. He says, Hare amot ha'el tunin lach b'matana, but two things. U'bevad shalo yehe lebalech reshut behen, ela masha apno set v'notenet bepich. So what I want is that when I give it to you, your husband has no rights in it. At what point do you get control of this money after it's been translated into food that you put in your mouth? Then that's the only way in which you can prevent, according to Rabbi Meir, by basically turning it into food. So since at that point it's not shy for the Baal to be zocheh in it, That way it will work. Now that's the Ran sheet that many other Rishonim hold like that as well. That no other particularized usage will suffice to prevent the Yad Ha'isha to be Yad Ba'ala. However, there are some who learn that this is one of those oscillating issues. An oscillating issue is a catch-22 type of thing. In other words, if I make the Matana, not particularly for food, I say the rights that you have to this money is chal only when you are using this money for the thing that you want. So let's say it says, we'll see later on, it's about locus, whether anything that you want or any specific thing. Say, you can use it to buy a new dress. So then, at the moment that the Baal would be zocheh in it, the woman won't have it. So the Baal can't be zocheh in it, because he's only giving it on condition that she is using it for this sole purpose. So then she gets it again, but then the Baal becomes, but then it goes out of her hand, and so on. So an oscillating situation always remains with the intent of the Matana, without that which will prevent it from being chal, and therefore the Baal won't get it, and she won't get it. Okay, so the question over here, so far, among those Rishonim, is whether you need to create that kind of oscillation, and whether it will help, or whether we need more than that. And that is that it should be dafka, something which at the point that she gets it, it's no longer shayach to the Baal, which is mizonos. Because there even the Baal would give her mizonos, he wouldn't have rights to mizonos. Omarav, lo shanu, elo da omar la mashat no sikvetenet bepich. Now, I want to make it very clear, says Rav. When we say over here two things, amanat shein lebalech reshut, and elo mashat no sikvetenet bepich, that's the only way in which it would work. It's not just that the Tana is saying a overexpressed lashon. In fact, there are two different issues over here. And it needs to be, you need to add this second piece of it. But if you would simply say, you do what you want, which according to some Rishonim means, even if he specifies what that want is, you get that new dress you want. Then that wouldn't help. Lo kana ayatoni. At that point, the Baal would be kind of, and he would then be have a problem with his neder. Shmuel Amar, afilu Amar Mashtitziasi, lo kanayaton Baal. Whereas according to Shmuel, now the truth is the Ran explains Shmuel is not arguing on the Mishnah. In other words, he agrees that what Rav says is clearly true about the Mishnah. He's not going to suggest that the Tana is simply blabbing on. What would be the point of saying such a thing? In the Mishnah, I made it to you, says Shmuel. However, you, Rav, apparently are pasquining like Rabbi Meir. And I tell you that lahalacha, malmanacha, ein labalek, reshutbo, is sufficient that we don't pasquin that yad isha is kiyad ba'ala. Matke for Rabbi Zer. Kiman Azrahash Maitata the Rav, Rabbi Meir. Look, I don't understand. Who is the only basis that Rav has of explaining the Mishnah in this way, that it's insufficient to say, Amanat Shein Labalek Rishutba, to create exactly the type of oscillation that we need to prevent it? In other words, we'll say, I give you this a condition, your husband doesn't have Rishus in it, so then the moment he has Rishus in it, I don't give it to you. So then at that point it is yours. So then he tries to get it and so on. But Rav is saying that that wouldn't be enough. It needs to be translated into something which, when it is hers, at that point the Baal wouldn't get it. That only is a problem according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, I mean, I assume, it's true Rabbi Meir never directly addressed the relationship between the Yad of Anisha and the Yad Bala. However, Rabbi Meir did address a similar circumstances with an Eved Kanani. Where over there also, the question would be, can you give an Eved something? I'm not Sha'in L'Rabo Rishutbo. And Rabbi Meir's Shita over there, which undoubtedly works here too, is what Rav is saying, is that the Yad, Ha'Eved Kiyad Rabo, and therefore in giving it to the Eved, I'm not Sha'in L'Rabo Rishutbo, fine, that's very good. Nonetheless, it's Rabo, because even though it's completely the Eved is not an extension of the Rab. So without getting separately, the Rav has it. And that it seems to be what Rabbi Meir is saying. And that's what Rav is saying, that Rabbi Meir, Shita, would apply by Anisha as well. And just saying the words, Amanat Shein Labalek Rishutbo, doesn't create the required oscillation to prevent it from going to the Baal. It's an extension of the Baal. Problem is, and in other words, you're saying it's Rabbi Meir, and that Rabbi Meir would say Yad Ishak Yad Bala in exactly the same way. That the Yad Eved is Kiyad Rabo. I got a problem with that. Because even Alibet Rabbi Meir, it's clear that the Yad Isha is not simply an extension of Yad Bala. Look at this bride, Rami. Keitzad mishtatfim bimavui. It says over here, how do you create a sheet of namavu? You have now a chotzer namavu. You want to be able to carry now through a joint property alleyway. In order to do that, everybody has to join up. To be able to carry from one rishus to the other, chatzit to mavui, mavui to chatz. And nobody's too interested. So what can you do? What you do is you create that shituf. And all you need to do is, miniachat hachavit, take a barrel of wine. V'omer ha-reza l'chol b'nei ha-mavui. This now I'm being mezakah to everybody, which makes us one large family, so to speak, halachically speaking. Now, of course, you can't just say it belongs to the other people. Somebody has to be koneh on their behalf. So you mizakeh it on their behalf to someone else. That someone else has to be able to have a legal right to do kinyanim. So it can't be a katan. But you could give it even to your own son and daughter if they're gedolim. and you can give it to your wife. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, what do you mean, give it to your wife? Rabbi Meir doesn't argue on this. Everybody says this. If you can give it to your wife, then obviously your wife is not an extension of your own hand. So that means that even Ali ben Rabbi Meir, who, I mean, over here, you cannot give it to your Eved, and that would be why, but you can give it to your wife. So apparently, if you're right in saying that we're going Ali ben Rabbi Meir, and that automatically, kanaya ton ba'ala, even if you would say, I'm not saying the ba'alech reshut b'hem, so then, what did you do? You took it out of your right hand and put it to your left hand? Erev lo nafik b'reshut in the ba'al. The point of the shitufa mevo'ot is that they have to have a legal ownership in that barrel, and if you never took it out of your hands, where did they get a legal ownership by taking it from the right hand and putting it in the left hand? So therefore, something is wrong with your application of Rabbi Meir, in the case of the wife and the husband and the Ein Lebalek Reshutba. Something is missing here. We got a contradiction. Omar Rava, I'll tell you, it's very simple. It is true that Rabbi Meir holds that Yad Yishak Yad Ba'ala. But nonetheless, Af Agav the Omar Rabbi Meir Yad Yishak Yad Ba'ala. This case is obviously unique, isn't it? Because the point that the Baal wants to make is that I do not want this to be my hand. Therefore, any rights in it, I am mafkir. I want you to be able to be zochet for others. Otherwise, what's the point? I'm also not an idiot to take it out of my right hand and put it into my left hand. So in this case, Moda Rebbe Meir Lenin Shituf, Kivan de la Zakot la Achirimu, this is the whole point of this transaction, is that she should represent another right of Kenyan on behalf of other people. So obviously he's now saying, I don't want to have any part of what it is that you're being zochet to. So Rabbi Meir himself would be Moda, that in this case, that she, Lezakot Lachirim, Usumi Yad Ba'ala Zachir. I mean, she was Zocha also from the husband to the rights to her own hand. So, Mamela, she's being Zocha to others. Eitzvei Ravina the Ravashi. That's a little bit jumping to conclusions, says Ravina. Because what are you going to do with the Braita that I'm going to quote you, which is a contradiction? I'm not saying that we don't have to, obviously, there's got to be an answer to the Rebbe Meir issue. But it can't be as simple as Rav is making it. That any time that you want to be mezakeh to a woman, the very fact that your intent is to have her have a different reshus, that's sufficient, because then we're going to have another problem with the following braita. Here it says, Elu shezachin b'hem, the following are the people that can be zocha for others by your giving it to them. So you could do it ayidei bino ubito hagdolim. You can do it with avdo v'shifkato ivriim, because certainly an eved ivri or shifka ivriya is not an extension of your hand. It's simply a long-term arrangement of schirut, is basically what it boils down to, a six-year indenture program, and that's it. But elu shenein zachin lehem, take a look at this. Here it says, the following you cannot use to be zocher for someone else, al yedei beno bito haktanim, okay, understand, they don't have kinyonim, al yedei avdo v'shivkato haknaanim, this is Rabbi Meir saying that yad evet yad rabo. But here it says v'ishto. So how does Rava come out and say, no, Rabbi Meir is made that when you want to give it to somebody else, then ishto can be zocher. So it was a bit facile now, Rav is third. Obviously, it's a little bit more subtle than just that. So how are you going to explain it now? Again, clearly, I'm agreeing that there's got to be an approach to the Mishnah. I mean, that's not the issue. I'm not arguing on the essential assumption as Rabbi Meir. I'm just saying that we're going to have to do a better job at explaining the original Braita about Ishto. Because, I mean, the way Rav has got it, there's no additional subtlety that allows us to have one braita saying you can use ishto, and one braita saying you can't use ishto. What is that additional subtlety? Elam Ravashi, I'll tell you, there is in fact another criterion that we completely ignored, and it's a very important one. The Mishnah is talking about b'shigesh lachatzer v'oto mavui askina. If this woman herself had inherited property that was not given into the Rishos of the Baal, that wasn't included in the Ketuvah, he said that, he said, Dinu Dvarim Ainli in Yir Yerusha, that she got before. So in that case, she needs to have her own ishtatfut in the mavui, or she won't be able to carry it to her own property. There we have amigo, that's different. Since the migo de zachel in afsha, since vis-a-vis her own property, the baal has no rishos, so she needs to be zocha in that, therefore because she can be zocha for others. But to put on a show, she could be zocha for them, where conceptually she couldn't have something that isn't his, would have been insufficient, even with Rava's insight. So Memela, we need to tune it up a little bit in order to explain where Rabbi Meir would be Maida, that you could be Mizaka Leisha. Now, as far as the Halakha Lamaisa is concerned, we have a very interesting situation here. Because normally, remember, we have a general rule. Wherever there's a Machlokas of Rav Shmuel, we have a Machlokas of Rav Shmuel. Rav said, I say, if you'd say Amanat Shein Labalek, or should, it's not enough. You have to add this additional piece, Elamah Sha'at Nasid V'Nantanim Papir. Machlokas, whether that means specifically food, or whether it includes Begodim, or perhaps even a generalized statement, as we'll see as the Rambam holds, any specific thing that you want, but only that. So we've got a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Now remember that the rule is, the way the Gemara puts it, is, the Gemara of course, was very Bekiyim and Tolkien, so they called Shmuel Elasar. Why Elasar? Because he was King Elasar, because we don't paskel like him in Isur. Elasar. There was a paskel like him in Dinim, but not in Isur. So the Shiloh is over here. Here we have a machlokas in Isur. It's the Dorim or Isur. They're not Dinim. They're not Dinim Mamnas. So that's where the machlokas occurs. But underlying the machlokas is a fundamental question of dinim, not iser, is yad ba'alak yad, yad ishak yad ba'alak. It happens to be it has an application in the door. Maybe we have a very interesting machlokas, haposkin, goes all the way back to the time of the Gaonim. Whether the rule is based on where the occurrence comes, such as over here when the dorm is iser, and therefore we should paskin like Rab, which is the way Rabbanim go, and paskins, and the Ram brings the whole Seder psak from the Nigidim, quoting the Gaonim, and in this case, this is a Momo point over here, and the Memela over here, we've got no problem, or whether we should go, basically, according to the case is a case of Isser, and we should pass it in there for like Rav, and it won't help. Now, generally, all over Shas, we use the language pretty easily to say, I'm not sure about late Rashud, but we seem to be happy with that, which also indicates that basically we pass much more. And not Rav, and we treat this issue as if it's a moment. As I say, it's a big machlokas, we've shown him how to pass him, but there's another shita that has, as the Ran puts it, sort of a middle way over here, and that's the Rambam. He calls it, according to the Rambam, even though he paskins like Shmuel, right, and l'chora that means that you don't need to say anything, it's enough to say, he throws in that nekuda that you need not only in Labalek Rishutva, but it is yours to do what you want. Because he understands that all the time it was in Labalek Rishutva means for you to do what you want. So you'll say, isn't that the same thing? No. That's the Ran understands the Rambam. No, because according to Shmuel as well, the idea of the in the Balak Rishutva creates a situation in which it is never going to be the Baal's, because at that point it isn't Mashatutzi Lasat. And that Shmuel is also moted to that. And that Rav and Shmuel were not arguing in that issue. The Machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, according to the Rambam, is only whether the Mishnah means, it's a completely different approach, is only whether the Mishnah means what you put into your mouth, dafka, or even if you don't mention what you put into your mouth. That's the only machlokas. They're not arguing about whether it would be sufficient to say just Amanat Shein Labalek Rishutva, and the machlokas Rav and Shmuel is whether we pass like Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Oh, no. So there's, according to the Rambam, it's not a problem in terms of the Machlokas Chachamim Rabbi Meir, the way the Gaonim understood it. And he simply says, there's a side point over here. We're all posturing like Rabbi Meir, and there's just a side issue. In order to get away with Rabbi Meir, do you need to say what the Mishnah says, that it's Mashat Nusit Menotenet B'pich B'davka? Or is that an example of whatever the heck you want to do? So Shmuel is saying, you don't need to say food. It's whatever it is you need to do. So in that sense, the Rambam is not taking the Machlokas that we found in the Rishonim and inserting it into the discussion of the Gemara itself. In which case, when he paskins like Shmuel, it isn't that different than paskining like Rav, according to Rishonim, old, that it could be any particularized usage. So we don't need a particularized usage.
We're ready.
V'neder almana ugrusha yakum aleha. Now this is, we've gone through basically two parts of the Seder in Matot. The one which opens up, Rosh HaMatot, talks about a father and a daughter. And then we have the Vav of the Im Hayoti Yeh, and we dash Nayoti Yeh. She was an Arusa, and then he died, he became an Arusa again. But then, the Neder Almana Ugrusha, which is the next stage. So here we have a woman, she was married, and now she's no longer married. Either her husband died, or they're divorced. So the Pasuk says, Yakum Aleha, meaning what? There's nobody to be made for it. Thank you very much. What did I think? Why do we need a Pasuk to tell me that if there's nobody to be made for, then the Hafara won't happen? So obviously the Pasuk's got to be talking about something that I might have thought otherwise. Now, the only way I can imagine that that would work is that at the time of the neder, there's one situation, and at the chalot of the neder, there's another situation. The pasuk is telling me what it is I should look at, the shat amira or the sha'a shechal haneder. So, ketzah. Where would this pasuk make sense? Where she says, amra, I want to be a Nizira, but the Neder should take place, begin only 30 days from now. In the midst of that time, of the 30 days, she gets married. So, the Chiddush over here is that she remains a Neder Amana Grusha. In other words, obviously there's someone to be made for. Because otherwise, what's the point of saying, if there's no one to be made for, there's no one to be made for? But what it's coming to tell me is the neder that was made by a grusha and almana at the time of the neder cannot be mufar, despite the fact that now there is somebody to be made for before it even is chal. It won't help. So and now there is a baal, it still has a din of kodmim. So I might have thought that nidarea aleha, which is where we dash and ain't a baal mefer bekodmim, right? The difference between nidarea aleha or bebeit isha, ve'im bebeit isha nadara. It's clearly one is talking about kodmim, one is talking about that bebeit isha. I might have thought that the nadara is that the neder is called bebeit isha. Kamashra, no. That it's a neder of an amanagrusha, that's all that counts. Now the other way around, let's say nadra v'reshut habal. She goes ahead and makes a neder at the time that she's married. And then she goes out of the Rishus of the Baal. The opposite case. There the Baal is made for Allah. What's the Chiddush? Ketzad. Amra, Reini Nizira Lach Rishloshim. Again, she makes a neder while she has a husband. And the neder is meant to be chal after 30 days. Afal Pishin Nid Almanon Nid Garsha B'tok Shloshim. Areza Mufar. If the Baal was made for, even though the neder wasn't chal yet, but the neder had been made, then the neder remains mufar, despite the fact that at the time that the neder is chal, there is no baal any longer. Either she's an almana or a grusha. Nadra bo bayom, v'nitgarsha bo bayom, mirzira bo bayom. Here we're talking about now, not an arusa, but niseit. So there's no longer any father. There's no Ba'ala Acharon. There's no one to be made for, together with an Av that will allow the last one to be made for, with what would otherwise be Kodmim, but which is okay for an Orus, because he has the Baal, the Av with him. So in this case, Enoyachol Lafer, obviously here, He cannot be mefer because this is called kodmin, and a baal isn't mefer the kodmin, as opposed to an erison where he would go back again. But here, even if this last marriage, second marriage, is only an erison, won't help because there's no father. Because once she was already nesuah, she was nesuah to the first guy, she never goes back to the father. Father only gets rishus on her if she leaves from erison, not if she leaves from nesuah. And therefore, zeaklav, kol she yatzav rishut atzma sha'achat, the moment she leaves into her own rishus, we'll have to see what this is adding. I mean, it seems to be simple, but the Gemara will discuss what is added by this klav. The moment that she leaves her rishus, his rishus, even for a moment, into her own rishus, so she goes to the chuppah, shuv eino yachola afer, no matter what happens afterwards, she never goes back into the rishus of the av. We only say nitrok na rishut la'av in a case where the husband dies mina erusin. Hamadir hanam echat, another dirty rat. V'hu rotze v'tefa mito ma'od. Omer la'arei ha'ma'od ha'enu netunim lach b'matana, u'bevat sh'lo yeh l'v'alech rishut v'hem, ela ma'a sh'at naset v'natenet v'tir. Omar Rav, lo shanu elo di omar la masha at nosit v'noten v'pir. Aval omar masha tirtzi asi, kanayaton ba'al. V'shmul omar afilo omar masha tirtzi asi, lo kanayaton ba'al. Matki floravi zera, I don't get it. Kimana zohar shemaita of Rav, obviously like Rabbi Meir, right? Omar yadishak yad ba'ala. But it doesn't seem to work because even Rabbi Meir clearly agrees that with the, between a man and a wife, it's enough for her to have her own yad. V'aminu keter mishtatvim b'mavui meniach atachavit ve'omer arei ze lechol b'nei mavui u'mezakelem ayidei abdo v'shifcha ivrim v'ayidei b'no v'ito agdolim v'ayidei ishto. Now, according to what Rav is saying over here, e amrit kanayaton ba'ala, how could they possibly be zochen a shituf? The eruv lo nafik b'shutei d'baal. He just transited from one hand to another. Oh, my Rava, that's because, you know, normally, I forgot the Omer of the mayor, Yadi Shaki Yad Baala, obviously in a case, but the whole point of the transaction is for the Baal not to have asserted any ownership here. Motor of the mayor, Yin Shituf, the given to the Zakot Ha'Kirimu, Miyad Baala Zachya, and that's fine. Eitve Ravina Ravashi, not so fast. Elu shezachilem ayadei v'no bito agdolim avdol v'shivchato ivrim v'elu she'en zachilem ayadei v'no bito agdolim avdol v'shivchato aknanim. And here it says v'ishto together as if it's the same as the Eved. I'd explain that. Elam Ravashi, we need to insert one more important point, that it's not simply the fact that the Baal is asserting that I want her to be zocha, but actually she needs halachically to be zocha for herself. Because the matnitin is talking about, but sheyesh la chatzer b'oto mavui, that she had inherited, which the Baal had accepted that he would have no din u'dvarim before the marriage, and therefore he doesn't have any rights to it at all. And there, migo, the zachil, the nafsha, zachil achrini, mashenki, Rabbi Meir too, continued to argue about an isha, where stam you want to give her the rights to be zochel acherim, that you can't do. All right, so once again, as I said, according to the Rambam,